This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Futuro.
Hello, dear listener. Just a heads up. In this episode, there are some curse words and some hateful language. As kids, a lot of us had to sit in the back seat of a car and listen to our parents control the radio dial.
103.8 FM.
And depending on the decade, those music choices could be anything.
The best music.
For Gabby Rivera, growing up in the Bronx in the 1980s, she had the Fania All-Stars.
When we went on car rides, when we went to Florida to visit relatives, my dad always had his salsa music playing.
Gabby Rivera is a writer who's maybe best known for her work with Marvel Comics.
My dad always had his music playing. Latin jazz, salsa, Motown, you know, he's a child of like the 60s and 70s, you know what I mean?
And we had this one song that I would always put on when we left Orchard Beach.
That's Gabby's dad, Charlie Rivera.
That was Cocinando by Ray Barreto. And that was our leaving song for Orchard Beach. If Dad put on that song, we all were packing up and ready to rock and go back home.
There are songs that take him right back to the island where he spent his childhood.
Tú oyes una canción y te trae a un lugar, quizá a Isla Verde o a Luquillo o al Yunque o a Oaxaca.
They'd listen to the classics, of course, from Héctor Lavoe to Willie Colón. One day, young Gabby and her dad are in the family's white minivan when a notable salsa song comes on.
You know, there's that salsa break, right? Where all of a sudden it's like, da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, right? Like, and it's like dance, right?
This was not a bolero. This was salsa, baby. This was get up and dance.
It's catchy. It's got a great groove. Then Gabby's ears start to take in the words.
I'm sitting and I'm listening and I hear the lyrics to El Gran Varón.
Tendrás que ser un gran varón.
And this is a 7 or 8 year old who's trying to make sense of the unusual story being laid out in this salsa song with the pronouns the singer is using.
Like, what is happening to this man, to this kid? And like, it's talking about dresses and putting on lipstick.
Usaba falda, lápiz labial y un cartero.
His father won't visit him, and like all of these things that aren't making sense.
El Gran Barón, or The Great Man, is a song by Willie Colón released in 1989.
Cuenta la gente que un día el papá fue a visitarlo sin avisar, vaya que error. Y una mujer le habló al pasar. Le dijo, hola, ¿qué tal, papá? ¿Cómo te va?
An unlikely hit about a father who rejects his child, Simón, because the child dresses as a woman.
And I'm just trying to piece it all together. And it's talking about in like the hospital waiting room.
En la sala de un hospital.
Simón is in there and sick and like dying.
Murió Simón.
And I remember just asking, like, what is happening to Simón?
A salsa song with a dramatic, topical ending right at the height of the AIDS crisis. It stood out.
And it was shocking to me that that song existed.
Simón, Simón.
From from Futuro Media and PRX. It's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. For today's episode, we bring you a special episode from La Brega Season 2, a new podcast series from Futuro Studios and WNYC Studios about the Puerto Rican experience, this time through music. This is episode 2 in the series, El Gran Barón. Who was Simón? La Brega host Alana Casanova Burgess is going to take it from here.
There are a number of songs that paint the contradictions and tensions of Puerto Rico. Love songs that are also pretty sexist, or prideful anthems that erase our history. But there's this song that, for a lot of people, feels particularly contradictory. I don't remember where I was when I first really heard the lyrics to El Gran Barón. I mean, really listened to them. But whenever it was, I walked away with a lot of questions. Like, how should we understand, today, this song that was so unusual and surprising when it first came out? For some, it's offered essential lessons in how to love your child. For others, it's a hateful and even violent listen. And for listeners like Gaby Rivera, it's a bittersweet soundtrack to a really important memory.
That song, El Gran Barón, has always just been part of the, like, energy of my life. We come up against a lot of, like, machismo, where there's expectations on how to be a man. And your mom and your tías might tease you and might bully you as well for being a feminine boy, right? Or a butch girl.
Or trans, or non-binary. And long before Gabby came out or even knew she wanted to, she struggled with how to relate to her parents. She wasn't sure how to bridge the generational divide with her dad or the religious divide with her mom. On TV and in movies, if there were gay characters, they were never Latine, never Puerto Rican, and they were almost always subjected to some awful fate. And this salsa was pretty grim too.
I think it's just like an honest tale. A heartfelt, honest, like heartbreaking story.
At the time, in 1989, the Spanish side of the dial mostly had a lot of romance, or at least sex.
Frankie Ruiz would have been singing something like Desnúdate, mujer. Okay, te quiero, something along that line, right?
Uh-huh. Get naked because I want to see you.
Yeah, get naked because I want to see you.
José Mazo has hosted a bilingual radio show called Con Salsa on WBUR in Boston for 47 years.
Some of them were innocuous, like Lluvia.
Musically, these hits were still pretty complicated. Big band sounds, great for dancing. And there were artists who were trying new things. Like, for example, Willy Colón.
Bueno, yo me crié en un barrio fuerte, en la 139 de South Bronx.
He was already a salsa legend from the South Bronx, a masterful trombone player.
He was still doing the street sounds of New York, but he was much more experimental.
Willy Colón had been a sort of child prodigy. He released his first album when he was just 17, and he was a longtime collaborator with two other greats of the genre, Hector Lavoe and Ruben Blades.
He had this persona of being El Malo, right? That was his brand. That was his persona. That was
like a character. Bad boy?
Yeah, the bad boy.
He had embodied this gangster mafia image for like 20 years by the time he put out his 1989 solo album, Top Secrets.
And so the album jacket, it's black and white, and it shows him with dark sunglasses, you know, short hair, and he's dressed in black. Top Secrets sort of gives you the sense of, you know, intrigue, CIA, Man in Black.
And on this album, there's a track that's a 7-minute long story, El Gran Barón. Now, along with all the sex that was on the radio, there were a few other really long songs out there.
We already were used to the idea of a narrative that was storytelling, right?
These narratives were mostly about other people, rarely a first-person account.
So they will say, I want to tell you this story. And if it happens to be a story that reflects life, it happens to be a story that reflects life.
And if salsas ever did reference queerness, they were imbued with macho toxicity. For example, in the early 80s, Ruben Blades had recorded Maestra Vida.
When he sings the song Having to Do with Ramiro's Birth, Nacimiento Ramiro.
Nació mi niño, nuestro niño.
Rubén sings it, and there's a part where he says, ¿qué será, qué será? What will he be when he grows up? Will he be a great baseball player? Will he be a scientist? Maybe he'll be a doctor. But then he says in Spanish, Señor, que no sea marica, que no sea ladrón. Please, God, let him not be gay.
Mm-hmm. Right? Or a thief.
Exactly, right? So he puts those two things together.
I mean, the word, it's really a slur.
Oh, big yeah. time. He was basically reflecting what men were thinking at that period of time.
Nearly 20 years later, Rubén changed the lyric.
No me salga cobarde.
To let him not be a coward, let him not be a thief. Saying he understood the power of words and regretted the earlier version. All this to say, El Gran Barón, coming out in 1989, caught people's attention. It's worth going through the narrative step by step. It starts with Simón's birth.
Nació Simón.
We learn that Simón's, I'm saying it with an E at the end, Simón's father, Don Andrés, is already proud because Simón was born a boy.
El orgullo de Don Andrés por ser varón.
El gran varón, the big man.
Tendrás que ser
undoubtedly male,
un gran varón.
Unquestioningly straight. Simón leaves home, goes abroad, al extranjero.
Al extranjero se fue Simón.
It doesn't specify where. And one day, Don Andrés pays Simón an unannounced visit and sees his child presenting as a woman.
Then when he recognizes that, wait a minute, how could it be?
Te dijo, hola, ¿qué tal, papá? ¿Cómo te va?
The song actually refers to Simón wearing women's clothing. And the lyrics do say, a woman speaks to Don Andrés. Y una mujer le habló. But Simón's gender doesn't change in the lyrics. I should note that people I spoke to for this piece used different pronouns for Simón. In the song, the father character, Don Andrés, is the villain for rejecting his kid. The message was clear. Don't be like him.
Because of your own bias, you're going to disown your child. And at the moment in which you no longer have the child, you're going to arrepentirte. You're going to say, oh, man, they're gone. I don't have my child, right?
Because by the end, Simón dies, all alone, of a mysterious disease we all assume is AIDS.
Y una extraña enfermedad.
Even though, you know, the word is never said, you know that that's the story of why Simón is in the hospital and ultimately dies.
Murió Simón.
After all, El Gran Barón was released at the height of this health crisis that was affecting everyone. Again, Charlie and his daughter, Gabby.
En esa época, la sida todavía estaba acabando con medio mundo.
AIDS was like all over the place.
Part of that reality was parents having to bury their own children.
Yo no quiero saber lo fuerte que es uno enterrar a su hijo antes de tu fallecer.
Es el verano del 86. Al enfermo de la cama 10. Nadie lloró.
And then here comes this song.
Simón, Simón. Simón.
This was a cry and a shout out to the Latin community, regardless of whether you're Colombian, you know, Puerto Rican, Mexican, Dominican, Cuban, it didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It was saying you don't be like this.
Because of all this, some radio stations refused to play El Gran Barón. Some of the backlash was even violent. But the song resonated anyway.
I would have been picking up the phone, hola, con salsa, José, tócame El Gran Barón. José, you know, it would have been that.
The song's audience grew and grew. Today, El Gran Barón is one of Billboard's top 50 Latin songs of all time.
Like, I love this song musically. It's just I hate what the song does. Not even what it says, it's what it does.
Ofelia Pastrana is a transgender woman, a YouTuber, stand-up comic, and media personality based in Mexico City.
It's literally hate speech on salsa. It perpetuates the notion that transgender women are men.
This is one of the big issues with this song, the pronoun problem. It's never explicitly stated that this person, this character, is trans. The lyrics refer to Simone as male all the way through.
Back then, I mean, of course, you wouldn't even think about pronouns.
But that means that the way we imagine Simone, and I say we because the lyrics have messed with me too, is built into the very first line of the song. Remember, it starts with a birth. It's actually one of the most iconic opening lines of any salsa. Simone was born.
As trans people, we are constantly told that you cannot change anything that is assigned at birth. And everyone will focus constantly on whatever it is you were at birth.
And as Ofelia says, that idea that a trans person is referred to by their dead name or misgendered is violent.
The song replicates a transphobic position. And you can see that clearly when you ask people if you think Simone is a woman. Like, it's like no one will generally make that mental click.
And then there's the chorus, which is a popular saying, no se puede corregir a la naturaleza. Palo que nace doblado, jamás su tronco endereza. You can't straighten a crooked tree trunk. You can't fix people's nature. There are different ways of hearing that. For one, it's meant as a warning to the father, Don Andres. Don't be the villain of your family. People are who they were meant to be, and it's on you to love them. Or it's telling us something is wrong with Simone, that there's something about Simone's nature that needs fixing, and that it's futile to try. And so they still have to be tolerated despite this flaw. It's a cruel way of thinking about queerness. It's like condoning it. So while the song is loved for denouncing Don Andres, it is also detested for including a saying that is often used against queer and trans people.
By today's standard, it missed the mark. Now, should older media be measured by today's rule? I don't know. Nonetheless, a lot of LGBT people will find representation within this song because this is the one song that had their parents talking about the issue.
This is a contradiction that Gaby Rivera has had to sit with.
So there is that element of like that lens, right? That hetero, maybe even homophobic, unintentional homophobic lens where you're looking at it and you're like, damn, you know, they shouldn't have been wearing a dress or why are they putting on lipstick?
To her, the song's language is trying to speak to a lot of different audiences.
This song is speaking to the older generation, my father's generation, my generation. And sometimes to do a lot of work, you got to speak all the languages. You got to speak the language of the viejitos. If you're straight and you're writing a song about your gay brother, the language that you use isn't necessarily the language that he's going to use about himself. Mm-hmm. Versus if Simone wrote this song, there might be like not a crooked tree, but the tree with the most leaves or the most brilliant tree.
If Simone wrote the lyrics, they might also have a different fate. Because this salsa also does what all other depictions of queerness did at the time. It ends in death.
Before I was out, I felt like that could be me, cast out, left to die. That was the narrative we had, right? Especially growing up in the 80s and 90s, all I saw was my queer elders like dying of HIV/AIDS.
But El Gran Barón landed differently than all those other narratives Gabby was seeing, coming to mind again when she was coming to terms with what it would mean to come out as gay. Hearing lyrics that scolded a bigoted father for rejecting his queer kid stuck with her.
If these words could be spoken, sung out loud, then maybe there was like room for me to say my truth and to demand love and care. And also, maybe I would fucking die alone. And that is part of this. That's the shit, right? That it's like, that if I was going to come out, I'd also have to swallow the possibility that my death wouldn't matter. and that it would be something I might experience alone and no one would care.
For years, I've wondered about this song and the people at the center of it. How Simone's story resonates with so many people. The pain, the struggle for acceptance. And when Simone dies, you really feel it. Turns out, the songwriter,
mi nombre es Omar Alfano, yo soy de Panamá,
was inspired by a real person he knew.
Coming up after the break, we hear from the songwriter behind El Gran Varón and about the reality of trans violence in Puerto Rico today.
Es el verano del 56, el orgullo de Don Andrés.
Stay with us. No te vayas.
Support for Latino USA comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/latino. That's odoo.com/latino. Odoo, modern management made simple. Climate change affects everyone, but it doesn't affect everyone equally. Immigrants often bear a unique burden due to climate change, but they're also leading the way with impactful solutions. Feet in Two Worlds, the news outlet and journalism training organization for immigrant voices, presents Home Interrupted. From flooded basement apartments in New York City to indigenous Maya farming practices in Nebraska, Feet in Two Worlds, Home Interrupted brings you deeply reported original stories from across the United States. Episodes drop each week starting April 2nd. Find Feet in Two Worlds, Home Interrupted wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, we're back. For today's show, we're bringing you a special look at one of the episodes of season 2 of La Brega, a Futuro Studios and WNYC Studios podcast series that just launched. And this season, we're looking at the Puerto Rican experience through music. I'm going to pass the mic back now to Alana Casanova Burgess, who's the host of La Brega.
El Gran Barón's lyrics lingered with Gabby. They haunted listeners. Simone's story resonated with a lot of people who were filled with fear about their own identity or were scared for the people they loved, or frankly, who hated what this song was saying. And it turns out the song itself is a kind of specter, the result of a memory that seems to have haunted its author as well.
Mi nombre es Omar Alfano, yo soy de Panamá.
Omar Alfano is a songwriter from Panama and the writer and composer of El Gran Barón.
Googlealo, ahí están la gran cantidad de canciones que yo he hecho.
Googlealo. He has in fact written many hits for Puerto Rican artists. By his count, some 250 have recorded his songs. You get the picture. But in the mid-80s, Omar Alfano was just starting out. One night in Miami, he was with some old friends from high school. They were all catching up on what had happened to their classmates, sharing some chisme. And someone asked about one friend in particular, who from now on we'll call Simón.
Hey, ¿qué ha sido de Simón? Simón, ¿tú no sabías que Simón es maricón?
They used that slur for gay, because in those days, when guys like Omar's friends got around each other, the word homosexual wasn't used, but there were plenty of slurs.
Habían más de 10 palabras despectivas para la homosexualidad.
Part of that bigotry was being critical of anything effeminate, he said, attacking anything remotely soft.
Párate que tú eres un hombre. Los hombres no lloran.
Be a man. Men don't cry, etc. And so Omar's friends kept telling him what had happened to Simón.
Parando todo lo que había pasado en su vida.
Simón left Panama and went to another Latin American country and tried to come out. But there too, the machismo was stifling and violent. As Omar points out, their hometown in Panama was small and patriarchal.
Todo viene este patriarcado.
Growing up, the expectations were clear. You had to be, as the song says,
tienes que ser un gran varón.
You have to be a great man, a strong man, an unquestionably straight man. Simón got an opportunity to move to San Francisco and took it. According to what Omar heard, life was much better for Simón in San Francisco. But this, again, was essentially chisme, gossip. Cuentan la gente.
Me lo contaron.
He couldn't say whether his friend was trans, but thinks so. That's what people told him. And since we don't know, when referring to the real life person, I'm going to use Simón.
Eso fue lo que me dijeron. O sea, yo agarré la historia.
Omar took that story and turned it into the DNA of the song.
Que a mí se me quedó en mi subconsciente, en mi corazón.
It was no more than a 30-minute stretch of that conversation on a boat in Miami, but it stuck with Omar Alfano. And one day, not long after, he was in Mexico passing by a piano.
Pasé por el piano y hice pam, pum, pam.
So Omar sat down to write.
Es el verano del 56, el orgullo de Don Andrés.
And he did what songwriters do. He took some liberties, changed a lot of details, and sometimes drew from his own experiences. Omar used his birth year in place of Simón's. Omar, who was born in 57, changed it to 56 so it rhymed with Don Andrés, a made-up character.
Andrés es inventado también.
The song's theme of family pressure and expectations, Omar took that not from Simón, but from his own life story. He had been pressured to pursue a career as an oral surgeon. He leaned in, tried to fit the role of El Gran Barón, until he couldn't anymore, gave up, and became a songwriter.
Dice que va a estudiar la misma vaina que tu papá, un gran barón, igualito que yo.
After that initial inspired rush of writing, it took Omar a couple of weeks to figure out how the song should conclude. He needed to find an ending. He let it marinate.
Yo la dejé como en el remojo, como dicen los boricuas, ¿no? Está en el remojo.
Just as the song begins in a hospital, the circle is closed at the end. The lyrics specified that Simón is the patient in bed number 10 who dies of una extraña enfermedad, a mysterious illness. I've always heard this as an obvious reference to AIDS. How could it be anything else, coming out in 1989? But keeping the disease a mystery wasn't a narrative tool. It was used solely to fit the meter of a line. Cancer, pneumonia, car crash, nothing else would have fit.
Porque si yo lo hubiera hecho, de pulmonía murió Simón. Ah, murió de pulmonía. Oh, de un cáncer murió Simón.
He says that he might have heard something about AIDS on the news during those 2 weeks, and it had gotten stuck in his subconscious. But he claims that the reference to that particular mysterious illness was an accident.
Creo que lo mejor que pudo haber hecho fue ponerles una extraña enfermedad.
And according to Omar, he certainly didn't know that at that moment, his friend whose story had inspired the song was also in a San Francisco hospital, dying of AIDS.
Yo no lo sabía. Yo compuse.
Omar doesn't know if any family members were there for a bedside reunion, like the one denied in the song. Because he actually never connected with his old friend, never got to play this song for Simón. They never had that conversation, and it's one of his big regrets. A detail he says he's never told anyone before.
Te lo voy a dejar grabado aquí. Me hubiese gustado tener una conversación con Simón y que él pudiese haber escuchado su canción.
Because being raised to be a gran barón type, Alfano has this lingering doubt. If his friend had come out to him in high school, how would he have reacted? Would Omar have rejected Simón too?
Cuando éramos compañeros de escuela, mostrado su preferencia sexual, yo también lo hubiera atacado. Eso yo no lo sé. Eso yo no lo sé.
Hmm. What would the real Simón have thought? Because Omar Alfano himself has heard the pushback to the chorus, that the comparison to a crooked tree trunk is insulting, as is the saying that you cannot correct nature. Would Simón have been offended? But Omar says that's not his message. The song is reflecting the language people used.
Es que en ese entonces hablaba así.
Maybe the problem is they still do. And Omar says that despite the fact that language has changed in the past 3 decades, and that the language he uses has also changed, he wouldn't want to alter the lyrics to El Gran Barón.
Sería un sacrilegio cambiarla al Gran Barón.
It's what he wrote at the time. The beats of the story and the writing build on each other and resulted in everything that came afterwards.
Yo no le cambiaría nada, 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 Gran Barón.
It's a song based on the shadow of a real person's experience. But it's not really Simón's story. It's Omar Alfano's and Willy Colón's interpretation. So what might the real Simón have actually said if they heard it? Again, Ofelia Pastrana.
I really don't talk to any of my high school buddies. And I can just imagine what would happen if one of them would write a hit song about my life right now and talks about me, my male me. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I really wouldn't want that.
Since 1989, there have been so many people who, for better or worse, have heard themselves in this story about the character in this song, Simón. But today, we actually don't have to search too far to hear how they might have sung about themselves.
Like, I am Simón, you know?
This is Ana Macho, a non-binary artist from Caguas who makes pop and urbano music.
First of all, Puerto Ricans love a good saying. They love that shit. They love it. They love a good lesson, a good moral.
That controversial chorus, Palo que nace doblado, actually felt as accurate to them growing up in Puerto Rico as it did for Gabby growing up in the Bronx.
My grandfather has said that in relation to my own queerness and other people's queerness, because queer people be in everyone's mouths all the time.
Again, it's a way of tolerating while not celebrating. Like, we can't change you, so let's condone you. Ana Macho does like that it meets people where they are. But what the song doesn't do is present Simón as someone really living their life. They're a character people are talking about, and it's really more of a song about Don Andrés. He's center stage.
But I'm sure Simón was just living her fucking best life, wearing the shit out of that lipstick and wearing the shit out of that bag. Her life was probably so fucking fabulous because I'm a queer Puerto Rican in New York City and my life is so insanely fabulous.
Until I told them that it was written by a Panamanian, Ana Macho always just assumed Don Andrés and Simón were super Puerto Rican.
To me, just intrinsically makes me picture it and see it in my head as such a Puerto Rican story. Puerto Ricans are very Catholic, very Pentecostal, very Christian, very judgmental, and ill-informed.
There's this idea out there that because we love salsa and reggaeton, PR is a sexually liberated place.
We're all just J-Lo's and Elis Chacons and Bad Bunnies.
But it's not. According to the ACLU, Puerto Rico has one of the highest rates of femicides in the world. There's an epidemic of intimate partner violence in the archipelago. And as in the States, the trans community faces violence. In February of 2020, a transgender woman named Alexa Negron Luciano was stalked and killed. Her attackers filmed themselves threatening her, and the video went viral.
Alexa's murder has shocked the conscience of people in Puerto Rico. And horrified.
Por el asesinato de una mujer transgénero, el caso también explota.
Que fue vilmente asesinada a tiros en un aparente crimen de odio en la madrugada.
It was the first of 5 known trans femicides on the island in 2020, meaning it had the highest number of transphobic killings anywhere in the U.S. that year. In response to the fear that that creates, Ana Macho wrote a song about living your best fucking life. It was called Cuerpa, and it came out a couple of years ago. In Spanish, the word for body is usually cuerpo.
¿Qué pasa? That word is intrinsically masculine, which makes it a masculine word, el cuerpo.
But Ana Macho used a variation of the word.
Mi cuerpo, no me importa lo que...
cuerpa, making it feminine.
We can center something other than the masculine at the center of like a bodily autonomy conversation.
It all started when a friend was describing how threatening it felt being a trans person in Puerto Rico, even just going to the beach. What bathing suit should they wear? What would happen when they took their clothes off? What if people watched?
¿Qué traje de baño me voy a poner? ¿Cómo, qué me puedo quitar? ¿Qué no me puedo quitar? ¿Cómo la gente me va a ver?
And so, turning that reality over in their mind, Ana Macho's cuerpa just came to them.
Yo me está en mi cuerpa. Llegué y rápido le embetí. Y mi línea favorita es como que sale el sol y lo quiero en mi corillo. Chapuzón con el bikini amarillo. Prendo un blon, ya tú sabes lo que digo. Tu opinión me la paso en el fundillo.
Tu opinión me la paso en el fundillo. Sale el sol y me siento diferente.
Para mí eso es como que en esas líneas yo te dije this statement de toda mi vida.
It's as far away from Don Andrés's rejection as you could possibly get, and it doesn't end in tragedy. As they put it, it's a body positive anthem about doing whatever you want with your body, regardless of what that body looks like. Have sex, smoke a blunt, wear a yellow bikini, go to the beach with your friends, and anyone else's opinion about it truly doesn't matter.
Like, I am the most fulfilled I've ever been, the most at one with myself as I've ever been. I'm so loved. Like, if people would see how many friends I have, how much love is in the air in my life, how positive my day-to-day life is, me being a trans queer person, like, I would think that they would be relieved and they would be like, huh, I didn't know you could live such a happy life. But that's the thing, como que people don't get to see how happy and joyful we are because those are not the stories being told.
I really wish we had better representation for everything, but we don't. We really don't. And so I will take crappy representation.
Again, Ofelia Pastrana.
I'm just going to celebrate the fact that we are talking about this.
Not just Ofelia and I talking about El Gran Barón, but all the conversations and all the families that took the right lesson from listening to this unexpected hit.
This song has brought the subject to the table and we can talk about the subject. I think that's a beautiful thing.
And, you know, it's a banger.
If you strip the lyrics from this song, it's still a great song. I think this song would have been an amazing song even if it spoke about apples and bananas.
In the real world, there are tragic endings like Simone's, of course, but there are also happy endings, and maybe happy beginnings too. When Gabby was in that white minivan watching her dad jam out to that song, there had been that one exchange that stayed with Gabby. When she would ask him about Simone in El Gran Barón, and he would take the time to tell her.
Todo mundo está buscando amor. Todo mundo quiere ser tratado como si igual, tú sabes.
You know, everyone is different. Everyone is made in God's images.
Con oportunidades y con cariño y con amor.
We all love each other. And so the tenderness with which my father explained that and the way that he was able to articulate elements about like LGBTQ identity, right? But without any judgment, that just always struck me. And as a kid, right, of course, I don't have that language, but I do notice his tenderness. I do notice that he's explaining this to me. I notice and feel that there's no judgment and there's all this love, you know? And this is a song that he never skips.
Uno es de esta forma, no big deal. No es gran cosa.
That gave me permission to come out because I never forgot that. And I thought, well, if there's softness in him for this song, then there must be softness in him for me if ever I tell him something like this. And that space where we didn't have language, in that moment, my father built that first bridge between us.
It's a conversation lots of kids never get. The conversation to explain the song's lyrics. And when Gabby did come out in her late teens, she found her community doing poetry readings at cafes across New York.
And he just would be there in his little suit, having just come from his job at Café Bustelo. And like, here he is in the village on St. Mark's in New York City, like at this little gay cafe, just standing in the back while his daughter is reciting a poem about loving a girl, you know?
People came over from all over. I said, look at this, man. This girl is rocking it, you know?
It would be like a room full of all these gay kids, like cast out gay kids, and like one dad.
I was a proud papa. I still am.
My dad.
Sometimes me and my wife were the only parents there. Sometimes I was definitely the only dad there.
And people would be like, it's like he's standing in for my dad, who I haven't talked to in 20 years.
That sucks.
And they would tell him, like, thank you for being here. When other people of his age group and other, like, Puerto Rican dads and moms have had issues with their gay kids.
The Andreses of the world.
He has opened himself up to talk to them and to help them try to find their way together.
That's why for Charlie, the song is actually much more about Don Andres than about Simone. It's a song for parents.
Tocaste en una parte de esa canción que para mí era do or die para los padres, no para Simone.
Simone is who Simone is. But parents can change, Charlie says, and should.
Ahora, papá y mamá sí pueden cambiar.
And one more thing.
Me gustaría hacer un cover del Gran Barón. Estaría bien cute. Estaría bien cute, bien cute, bien cute.
If you think you know what's coming, you are absolutely correct.
First of all, if I did a cover of the song, I would not misgender Simone. I would change the pronouns. I would like for my interpretation of it to be much more faithful to what Simone was feeling, or Simone talk, like from the perspective of Simone.
And Simone, in this version, would actually enjoy their life, their purse, their lipstick, their skirt. AIDS would no longer be a death sentence. And finish the song off, very much alive and thriving.
That's Alana Casanova-Burgess, host of La Brega, Season 2. A podcast series from Futuro Studios and WNYC Studios. The episode you heard from La Brega was written by Alana Casanova-Burgess, produced by Jeannie Montalvo with help from Dasha Sandoval. It was edited by Mark Pagan, and Joe Plourd was the sound engineer.